Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint, where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares the feeling of excitement of talking to a dead loved one, and the disappointment when discovering it was actually a demon. An entire family haunts and communicates with a listener. After a serious illness, a young woman finds that she now has a guardian spirit that gives her warnings, and a hotel security guard experiences something that causes him to walk away from his job. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
I thought this was kind of funny. We got postings on Facebook of just random things on the internets that are fairly amusing. And this was a Craigslist ad, and I doubt it's real, but somebody posted it somewhere, and it's a doll for sale, and it says doll for sale, make an offer. And it's a very creepy looking kind of old Victorian-ish doll. It says, my daughter doesn't want it anymore. Our dog will not stop barking at it, and we can never find it where we left it. Doll has really cute laugh. No batteries required. Pickup only.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, and the doll is just super creepy. It'd be kind of fun just to like post things like that on Craigslist and just see how far they go. Because people, I mean, they're out there, they're searching for stuff, and you could easily make up some really creative ones. It'd be kind of fun to do that and see if it makes the rounds all the way back to the show. So anyway, thought that was kind of funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can also email us an audio file if you want to record your story that way on your phone or whatever it may have you. And you can email it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com to get the audio over to us for the show. We'll kick off the show today with a letter, and this letter today comes in to us from Frank. Frank writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I wanted to share a story of mine with you guys since I started listening to your podcast about 3 weeks ago. I listen to it 5 days a week and for 8 hours each day. It truly helps my long workday pass by a little quicker since I work overnights. But the story I want to share with you is truly creepy. Scared me to the point of tears running down my face, and it affected me for a while. To this day, I think about it. So a little background on me. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm 23 years old. My mother was raped and murdered when I was only 3 months old. I tell you this because it plays a big part in this story. As you can tell, I didn't know my mother. So one day when my wife and I were just dating, she told me she had a Ouija board. I didn't believe her and told her that she was lying. She laughed and told me it was true and asked if I'd like to play with her. I still didn't believe her until she brought it down. It was about 1 a.m. and everyone in the house was dead asleep. I always wanted to play with the board but never dared to. So when I saw that she had it, I guess I decided to man up. I asked her where we were going to play it, and she tells me in the kitchen. I said, cool, let's play. Let me say the board was a very cheesy one, so to speak. It glowed in the dark and looked as if she had bought it from Toys R Us. She told me she had to put the board close to the light so that it may glow when we turn it off. Like a charge of some sort. So after that, she had a candle lit in the kitchen table and turned off all the lights downstairs. I was kind of creeped out already. It was now completely dark, and the only source of light was from the candle and the glow of the dark board, which made it very eerie. So we started. I looked at her and smiled. I asked her if she was ready, and she nodded her head with a smile. I asked her if she wanted to start. She said yeah, and asked if there were any spirits in the room. Nothing happened. She asked again about 3 more times, and still nothing, not even a budge. She looked at me as a signal for me to give it a try. I grew a little scared, not to lie, but I went ahead and asked if there was anything in the room with us. The triangle moved, and the answer was yes. I was terrified when this happened and looked at my wife, which I was dating at the time, and I asked her if she moved it, and she said no. Then asked me, and I replied to her no. She thought I was playing a trick and vice versa, so we kept going. I asked if it was a human, and it answered yes. At that moment, I wondered if it may have been my mother. So I asked, was it a male or female, and it went to F to confirm female. I grew anxious now to know more. I asked for its name, and it spelled out my mother's name, Elizabeth. My eyes grew wide, and my eyes got watery. My wife looked at me in shock. She knew my mother wasn't alive. I asked her again if she was doing this to me, and she said no. I then again, to test the spirit, asked a question that only my family and I knew. I asked it, do you know who killed you? And the answer was yes. I then asked, was it a friend of the family? The answer again was yes. Now my heart was racing. I asked, name one of your brothers, and it spelled out my uncle's name that raised me, Jose. I stood in shock, speechless to say. I asked more questions and asked if anyone set the death of my mother up, because there was a rumor that my aunt set it up. They were envious of my mother, from what I was told. So the answer was given to me from the spirit was yes. I was now scared, sad, mad, etc. My feelings were everywhere now. I asked it if anyone in my family knew it. The answer again was yes. I asked too, and gave me the letter of J for Jose, my uncle. I stood quiet for a moment. My wife looked at me in complete shock. She was in silence the whole time. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. Then for some apparent reason, I felt more fear growing in me. I was already scared and so much more, but now I was beyond scared. Something told me to ask it again if it was human or not. So I went ahead and asked it. The answer it gave me was no. My legs started to shake and tears ran down my eyes. I felt fooled, and my wife was now terrified. I then asked it slowly and scared if it was a demon. It answered yes. Now I stood frozen. I didn't know what to say or do. My wife told me to stop playing, and I told her we have to close the game first, but before I did, I felt as if a multitude of things surrounded me. So I asked, "Is there more demons here?" And it answered yes. Now that was enough. It sent me to the edge. I wanted to stop playing and burn the damn thing, so I went ahead and told it that we were done playing and asked if we could go. It said no. I asked about 4 more times and still the same answer. I told it we were done and to leave us alone, that it had to let us go. Then asked it one last time, and it did. But to be very honest, I feel like it never did. We stopped, turned on all the lights, and left the board in the closet. And same week, we threw it away, never to play with it again. It was one of many creepy things that have happened to me, but one that scars my heart for what it pretended to be. But I'd like to say thank you for reading my story, and sorry it was long. I have plenty more experiences from seeing to hearing and feeling things. I have to send you more stories and hope you guys enjoyed. You have a great one, and I hope to be an EPP very soon.
I think it's so sad that he was going to, you know, try and get some closure out of this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out it's not who you think you're talking to.
Which happens all too often.
Yeah.
And I think it was, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's our biggest thing that we say.
Sure.
You know, just be careful.
And the thing is, I think a lot of times when they do these things, or when people use a Ouija board, they don't necessarily ask that question, are you human? They just kind of go on and get the information and assume that's who they were talking to or whatnot, and sometimes they don't close the board, they don't do this or that, and then more things start happening, and they're very confused because they thought they were talking to Uncle Lenny, and it turns out, no, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you also never got, you know, definition into who it was either. What's interesting about this is I'm wondering how accurate some of the statements were. As far as asking it, you know, was the mother set up? You know,
yeah.
All those things. Those pieces of information that only the family would know, or some, maybe no one knows anymore. But, you know, how accurate were those statements that the demon was giving?
And that's something we probably will never know.
Yeah, albeit not the mother, but could it be something intelligent that knows the real answer to that question?
Right.
So, I don't know. We probably will never know the answer to that. But there you go for Ouija Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Matthew writes in, I live in Sussex County, Delaware. I've been listening for the last 2 weeks ever since finding your show on iTunes. I've loved ghost stories ever since I was young. I never put too much into ghosts and if they were actually real or not. It wasn't until I was 15 I started picking up on things that just didn't add up. This is one of my stories. This one takes place a few weeks after my uncle passed away. It was a very devastating loss to my family. After the funeral services, my aunt asked me if I would come over on weekends and keep my cousin KJ company. Needless to say, I agreed. I and KJ have similar interests, like playing video games and watching and making fun of cheap monster movies. And as soon as we were able to drive, we would go to local haunted locations. Before then, though, Saturday nights consisted of Nintendo and watching sightings on late-night TV. It's also important to point out that my aunt worked at a local institution that took care of the mentally disabled. Her shift was 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. After watching TV one Saturday night, we prepared to go to bed. We camped out in the living room. I slept on the floor while my cousin slept on the couch. In the middle of the night, I started hearing a creaking noise like a door was opening. I also had a feeling that I was being watched. It was then that I heard the door to my aunt's room close. At first, I simply thought that my aunt had gotten off work early and decided to get some sleep. I was wrong. I heard the door creaking again. This time, I opened my eyes to see what was making the noise, and I saw the door open, but what I saw next prevented me from sleeping that whole night. I saw a dark figure peek around the door and look at me. The figure made a gesture in which the figure put a finger to its face as if to tell me to keep quiet and to go back to sleep. I tried to wake my cousin up, but he's a very sound sleeper, and like I said earlier, I didn't sleep at all that night. The next morning, I told him about what I saw at breakfast. He didn't believe me at first, and he told me that there was no way that could happen because my aunt kept her door locked while she was at work. My aunt was listening and said, "Well, let's see." I might have left it unlocked by accident. The door was locked and also had to be pushed because the door got stuck. My aunt didn't think much of my story. She simply told me I was dreaming. To this day, I know what I saw in my cousin now. He started to believe more and more that what he did back then. So what do you guys think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm now an official EPP and enjoying all the EPP goodness. Keep up the good work, Brewskis.
I wonder if it was the uncle.
I kind of have a feeling that that's the direction it probably was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you any reason why you feel that way?
Well, just because it didn't seem to want to do anything bad. It just wanted to go into their room.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of check on things, be part of life.
Yeah.
When he's dead. But that seems to be a normal thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just not always necessarily there to relay a message or be creepy or whatever have you that you think of when ghosts. Sometimes the stories are just very simply, they're there. And sometimes they may have had no intention of you even catching them
mm-hmm.
or seeing them. But sometimes, you know, just it happens. So I think that could be all it is. Remember the show Sightings? Did you ever watch the show Sightings?
I saw it a little bit and then I stopped just because I don't like to see things.
Too creepy?
Yeah, I can listen to creepy stuff all day, but
yeah.
I can't see it.
There's a lot of UFO stuff on there, big stuff, Bigfoot stuff. There was ghost stuff too, which I liked.
Yeah.
It seemed like it had a little more ghost stuff to it than some of the other shows. But I'm surprised that show has never come back.
Mm-hmm.
It just because it's referenced so many times from our listeners. I could just totally see that being a revamped show today that could really do fairly well. Our next letter comes into us from Brittany. Brittany says, there's a family living in my home, and I've lived here for about 8 or 9 years. I come from a long family line of sensitives. We pick up on energy, and I see premonitions or have dreams that show me things. I remember seeing red eyes in my closet, and I'd hear sudden noises as if someone was smacking their tongue to the top of their mouth while I was trying to sleep. I would see this horrifying face appear suddenly in front of me as I walked through my house. I have seen a red circle flashing on the outside of my closet door, feeling nothing but pure evil. After many years, I had finally decided to try a Ouija board, and a friend lit a white candle and prayed before we began. The first person to begin with us was Hannah. We asked her age, and she moved that piece past the numbers. I asked if she was unsure of her age, and she moved it to the word yes. We asked a few more questions before the piece was moved to the word Ouija at the top of the board. I asked if Hannah was still there, and the piece was moved to the word no. When I asked who we were speaking with, the piece spelled out J-A-Y. It was a little boy whom I had seen a few times in my room. He has no color to him. He's gray and faded and wears a striped shirt. My friend and I spoke to Jay for a bit. He had told me he liked having me around and made him smile and feel better. We talked to Jay for quite a while before things got serious. I asked the little boy how he had passed, and he'd go to the letter B, but would never spell a word. We'd try asking other questions and then coming back to the question on how he had passed, and it would just again go to the letter B. I began to try guessing, but he kept moving the piece to no until I finally guessed it. Baseball bat. He told me it was his father. That's when the piece moved to the word Ouija. Once again, I asked if we were still speaking to Jay. No. When I asked who, the piece spelled out Robert, if I remember correctly. It was the father. I asked him if he was nice. No. It was once if he was once an angry person, yes. If he took his family's life, yes. I also asked what his wife's name was because I have felt her presence in the kitchen and have heard her moaning in pain. Claims her name was Patricia. We talked to the father for a while when we somehow got to a point of him claiming the family was there protecting me. When I asked from what, he spelled out the word E-V-I-L. Every question I had about it, after he continuously spelled out the word evil. I finally told him we had to go and then said goodbye. Things seemed to calm down a bit after the encounter. I believe the family felt they had finally gotten to me and talked to me, that they had gotten it through to me, that they were there even though I had always known something was there. It was about a year and a half ago. Today is Saturday, February 13th of 2016. 3 days ago, on Wednesday, February 10th, 2016, I had a nightmare. I'm pretty used to detailed and gruesome nightmares, but It's been years since one has scared me so much that I woke up shaking and not wanting to move. I was a little girl in this dream, but it wasn't me. I was a different person, a very young child, as if I was trapped in this little girl's body, seeing the things she saw and feeling how she felt. I had a brother and my mom and dad. I remember the dream being dark. My brother and I were crawling into our beds to get some sleep, and all I could feel was intense fear. I knew that night was not going to be good. I pulled the blankets over my head and lay there waiting. I knew something terrible and non-pleasant was in store for me that night. As I lay there with my eyes squeezed shut in fear that I would be more fearful of seeing something, I felt the end of my bed sink down as if someone had just sat there. I squeezed my eyes shut even tighter as I held my blankets up over my head. The pressure lifted off my bed and I could feel the presence getting closer. That's when the blankets ripped off my body and I saw the ugliest, most terrifying face I'd ever seen. Then the dream showed myself, the little girl, my brother, my mother, and my father, just standing there in front of pure blackness with no eyes. All of their eyes were missing, and the words, "they were molested," were said by a man who sounded to be a police officer. I woke up immediately after the words were said, shaking, fear and disgust, terrified. I realized I didn't feel alone, and saw a glimpse of what looked to be someone standing in my room. I grabbed my phone, flipped on the flashlight, and no one was there. I stayed up for 2 hours, unable to calm my mind, and fall back asleep. I knew the dream was telling me something. I just couldn't understand what. Now, 3 days later, I knew what it was about. It was the family that is in my home. Their eyes were missing because they ignored the abuse. They closed their eyes and turned their heads as if nothing was wrong, as if they were blind to it. As I was a little girl in the dream, I felt her fear and terror. She already knew something wasn't good and something was coming. If you think about it, the words, "they were molested," the definition of molest is to harass or abuse, not always having to be sexual in any way, hence being what the dream was trying to tell me. The family was molested, abused, harassed, and terrified of this monster who was their father. One thing that still has me questionable is that I have seen that ugly face before, the one that was in my dream. When the blankets were ripped off of me, and the same ugly, demonic-looking face I have seen through my house, I consider it evil.
I think in this case, yeah, I know that molest can have other meanings, but most of the time when people use it, they use it for a reason.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if that maybe is something that did happen in that house.
As part of, yeah.
Yeah, because you can use, abuse or harass if you mean that.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you use
that term,
you mean that exact thing that comes to mind.
Oh, I agree. It makes me wonder about, just the feeling that she's, the writer here is getting from the entity.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the father that, and all the weird dark things that are going on there, it makes me wonder, is it really the father that's communicating? You know, it's a confusing thing because you have someone who is essentially, it sounds like, evil.
Yeah.
But it was a human as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the thought go through your mind of, is this some sort of demon like we had in the previous story? And it almost gets very confusing as to who it could possibly be, just because the two are right there on scale of bad.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it actually is the father that's there in this case, or what do you feel about that?
It seems that he's the one that did the other bad things, like beating the kid to death with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say for sure that it is him, but I wouldn't say it's not.
Yeah. Evil is evil there.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any documented history at all on this, on the house. I mean, that's a tricky thing, too, because sometimes it doesn't necessarily even need to have been a family that lived in that house.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have these things where it was nearby, or for whatever reason, this is where they are now. But just to try and find some more, history on the story, or almost of the story, it would be interesting if any of that could be dug up. On that of that home. But then again, it probably depends how far going back these events occurred.
Yeah.
How documented that would have been.
And do you know that you want to know?
Yeah, that's the other half. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to know the answer to that question? Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want more ghost stories, and we got tons of them, you want more than 80 of our best episodes that are only for our EPPs. Our EPP episodes are not like the greatest hits of the regular show. They are always exclusive episodes, exclusive stories only for EPPs. Sign up to be one on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Tori writes in, "My name is Tori from Lancaster, California. I've been having experiences with the paranormal or unexplained for as far back as I can remember. Here are two of my moments that have always made me wonder, who is she? When I was 23, I became seriously ill. I was hospitalized for some time, and when I came home, I was very weak. I was living alone in my apartment at the time. It wasn't the safest apartment complex, and a few of my neighbors were serious trouble. One night, I was in bed about to fall asleep when I clearly heard a woman say, 'Check the front door.' I thought, 'No, the door is locked.' I rolled over and again heard the woman say, 'Please, do it now. Check your door.' So I got up and said, 'Fine, I'll look.' Sure enough, I checked the door and it was unlocked. I said, 'Well, thank you.' I went to get some water in the kitchen near the front door. The next thing I hear is a doorknob being played with. I flicked the doorknob and here she's awake. And then they went away. 4 years later, I'm driving home from work at the time, and I worked in a salon an hour away. I hated driving on the freeway, but I used to take Bokit Canyon Road. It was dark and twisty. You shouldn't drive too fast, but many people do. It was about 9 p.m. and very dark. All of a sudden, I heard a woman's voice tell me, 'Pull over now.' Without thinking, I said, 'Why?' She said, 'Don't ask me why. Do it now.' So I did. I then said, 'Now what?' Right then, a car came around the corner way too fast on the wrong side of the road. He slammed on his brakes and stopped shortly behind me. He said, 'Are you okay? Did I run you off the road?' I said, 'No, I just decided to pull over.' He said, 'Thank God, I would have killed you.' I don't know who she is, but I'm glad she's watching over me. I'll have to share some more of my experiences another time. Love your show."
I wonder if that is somebody that attached her when she was sick.
Like if she got too close to death, if you will, and it kind of opened up some windows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could seriously see that. It'd be interesting to hear more about from her, just how sick she was and how close that came. But that's a very common thing to have happen, is where someone gets very ill, hospitalized, or is in an accident for whatever reason, and they come close to death, and suddenly, once they're back and living life again, they suddenly sometimes have more abilities as far as being sensitive to things, or they seem to be visited by spirits or have encounters like that. So it's a common thing, something I guess not to be so much afraid of, but be interesting to hear just how close that she came. 855-853-4802, our number. Seth, hello, guys. I just started listening to the podcast this week when I found it on Spotify, and I absolutely love it. I drive a truck all day, so hearing all these stories really helps my day go by quicker. I heard that you guys love stories regarding activities at hotels, and I knew I just had to share my story with y'all and hopefully have it read on a future show. I'll try to keep it short and not spare any details. Back in late 2011 to early 2012, I worked as an overnight security officer at a very big and nice five-star hotel here in town. My nights mainly consisted of walking around and being bored out of my mind because after 11 p.m., the only two employees were the front desk clerk and myself until 7 a.m. You can imagine it might get a little eerie in that kind of a setting, and it definitely did. After about 2 months of employment with nothing strange happening, that took a sudden turn for the worse one night. It was at a very slow weeknight. I think our total capacity was around 15%, which is extremely low for a hotel with 10 floors. Around 2 in the morning, I was sitting back in my little office that's back by the boiler room and just wasting time on my phone. On my table was a monitor that had a program plugged into the main elevators that would light up any time someone stepped into an elevator, and on which floor they did it on, and a loud beep would emanate from the monitor. This is pretty much a safety net if we needed any type of evidence in case anything happened in the hotel. The entire night since I had been on the clock, literally nobody had used the elevators, and it was dead quiet. All of a sudden, I heard that loud beep and noticed it was coming from the 10th floor, which is a suite floor. It did not beep once, however, like it usually did. It beeped 5 or 6 times in rapid succession, as if someone was waving their hand in front of the sensor. I decided to go up to the 10th floor and see if maybe some kid was playing on the elevator. When I arrived, it was eerily quiet and for some reason very unnerving on that floor. I found nobody up there. I used my radio and asked the lady at the front desk if anyone was staying on the 10th floor tonight, and she said there was nobody up there tonight. This kind of scared me a bit because in order to get up to the 10th floor, you must have a key card assigned to a room up there and stick it in the slot in the elevator. I checked both stairwells and they were open from the inside but locked from the outside as usual. I chalked it up to a malfunction of the elevator and went back down to my office. But an hour later, around 3 a.m. or so, I heard what sounded like footsteps walking from the service elevator to the laundry room where the housekeepers did all the laundry. It was like a laundromat there where so many machines in there. I hesitantly walked down the hall to the laundry room and said, "Hello? Someone in there?" But to no avail. I was frightened because I know what I heard, and it was the distinct sound of footsteps. I started to walk back to my office, and right as I turned the hallway corner, I heard several very loud bangs from the laundry room. So loud, I jumped up and flung around, fist clenched as if ready to hit somebody. I slowly approached the room again and noticed that all of the dryer doors were now wide open, every single one. When I saw this, I sprinted to the front desk and stayed there the rest of my shift until my boss, when she arrived that morning, that I was quitting on the spot. She asked me why, and I knew I couldn't tell her the real reason, why I so simply said I couldn't work the hours. I never set foot back inside that hotel again. I did do some research on the building and found out a couple committed suicide in the first room floor that was turned into a storage room back in the 80s. I suppose that's my best explanation as to why those things happened that night. Anyway, sorry if my story was longer than anticipated, but I wanted to make sure to tell everything as it happened. I'm signing up to be an EPP today, and I can't wait for all the future content you guys will bring.
You know, I think it's funny when there's elevators being played with because it's such a kid-like thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it was a kid ghost. And it's hard to know in a hotel because there's so much as far as people coming and going.
Yeah, and it's not always, you know, just someone who had died in the hotel.
Yeah.
That necessarily could be causing these things to happen. So much energy there, so many, you know, it could be residual things. It could be any number of possibilities there. Without some more definition, I guess, to the haunting, as far as who or what may be, there's some more clues. It's really impossible to know if it was the ghost of that couple or one person of that couple that killed themselves there, or if it was something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Good story, though.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that one. Johanna writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, greetings from British Columbia, Canada. I really appreciate your show. It's rare that I can find a podcast that can make me laugh out loud in public. So, great. I've yet to have a paranormal experience. This will be my sister's story, which, by the way, takes place in a bunk bed. I got to use the bell finally.
Yeah.
There we go. My younger sister and I slept in the same bed when we were around 7 or 9 years of age, respectively. Our house was built on a hill, and the room was slept in. It was the deepest, least bright part of our house. Later, I learned from my mom that my dad greatly disliked that room, and thinking back, I realized that even though it was the biggest room, it was kept empty for as long as possible. And we only moved in when there really wasn't space for all of us growing family upstairs. I don't know if he felt something in the room or maybe thought the lack of natural light was unhealthy, just that he didn't like it. My younger sister was a very timid, easily terrified child. She always hated it when I fell asleep before her, and on the night in question, I did just that. The activity started soon after, with her body suddenly being roughly shaken. I don't remember how long she said that it went on for, I, lying beside her, definitely wasn't awoken by the bed being moved, so it was just her own body. Then my sister says she heard the most insane, evil laugh. I couldn't tell it if it was in her head or not, or she couldn't tell if it was in her head or not. The cackle went on for a while, and she told me later that she was very sure it was the devil. Perhaps the most abnormal thing about this situation was the fact that my easily terrified sister, who is to this day faint-hearted about the paranormal, felt absolutely no fear. Though she consciously recognized evil, she told me that she did not feel like cowering. There was a defiance that arose that was not hers and did not fit her personality. She did eventually get out of the bed and go upstairs, where what would have been her normal reaction took place in front of our parents. Soon after, our parish priest came to have the room blessed, and nothing since has happened. For a few years afterwards, I was subject to being doused with holy water on a nightly basis by a girl who didn't want herself or anyone else to experience what had happened. If you're interested, Tony, our house has 4 bunk beds in total, and only one has had paranormal activity in it. From my data, I'd say that finding is a good haunted bunk bed has about a 25% success rate. Thanks, guys. If you have time, would you mind giving your thoughts on whether your gender has anything to do with paranormal sensitivity? Women seem to, as a whole, express more emotion, and since spirits seem to be able to manipulate that part of us easily, do women experience more activity than men? I'd love to get your take on it. God bless, Johanna.
I think so, and I don't know exactly why, other than sometimes women are more sensitive to things than men, emotionally picking up on different, you know, tensions or
cues
or feelings. And I'm not saying that there aren't sensitive men out there, but I think you find it with females more. And also, it's passed down a lot from mother to daughter and so on and so forth, at least. And my experience with doing this show, that's what we commonly hear.
I would agree. I have nothing to add to that.
Okay.
I think you're right. I would be interested to know, because we've asked this a couple times, and oftentimes it's a case of, you know, in childhood, the bed, you know, went away and whatnot. If the bed is still there, take a look at if there's a manufacturer name on it or something. I want to try and get a record of this. I do. I want to see. I mean, if you can take a look at that and find out, you know, any information that would point us to the direction of where it came from. And hopefully over time, we can get more and more people that are able to access that information. And we can see if there's any sort of common thread there.
Mm-hmm.
I only want the information on the bed that you think was in question in the area where it was.
Yeah.
So that's, if you can, email that to us. Be very interesting. We may be onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff writes in, hello, this is my mom's story. My parents and 3 sisters still live in Guam while I live in Florida. My mom and I call each other every day, and she always calls me after my little sister's games to tell me how it went. This one night, my cousin went with my mom to my sister's volleyball game. The gym, the game was, the south of Guam with lots of turns and dense jungle on both sides of the road. My mom was driving home after the game with my cousin in the front passenger seat, and my sister fell asleep in the back seat. At one point, my mom realized she didn't know where she was. She's taken this route many times because my older sister and I played sports and know every gym located like the back of my hand. My mom and cousin were really freaked out, but my mom knew exactly what was happening. She woke up my sister and told her my cousin to turn their shirts inside out. Sure enough, my mom reversed out and found the road she needed to be on. They finally made it home safely. My dad looked at them and asked, "They played you again." They laughed it off. A little background. Guam has 2 ancient spirits that roam the island. They mainly roam dense jungles where thick old trees grow. I'm not going to say these names right. Dendi and was that like Dundee?
No.
Dunda? Do you know it?
I think it's Duende.
Duende? Okay. And Tautomona?
That's what I would go with.
Okay. Good luck, Tony, it says. are known to play tricks at the locals and tourists. Tautomona are more of protectors and really serious spirits that demand respect. One thing you don't want to do to the Tautomona is disrespect them. My parents believe the first one played my mom. Thank you both for this station. It's kept me awake at work with all the great stories shared. Take care. P.S., Here's a link to help understand these spirits, and then there's a link there to get more info.
I want to know why they turned their shirts inside out. Was that to hide any names on the jerseys, you know, from whatever spirit it was?
I don't know. Is it a superstition type thing?
I don't know.
It was just kind of put in there like, this is a normal thing that we, you know.
Yeah, and I'd like to know because I love learning about different, you know, types of local hauntings around the world.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to hear the answer to that question. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Brock writes in, I was in high school. Back then I'd go to sleep at night listening to late night talk radio with the radio right next to my bed. There was one show in particular I would listen to. It was just a random talk show with two hosts, and they'd talk about whatever. One night, as I was dozing off with the radio on, I heard the host of the show pause and then say, Brock, hey, Brock, like it was trying to get my attention. It scared me so bad that I sat up really quickly and turned up the volume on the radio to see if I was just hearing things. There was nothing. It was like the radio was not on at all, just dead air. I was so freaked out, I jumped off my bed and ran to my parents' room. They were in their bathroom just getting ready for bed. I was visibly rattled, and my mom told me I was white. It's probably panicking. I told them what happened. They comforted me and eventually built up the courage to simply go back to bed. What's so scary is that I remember going back to my room and the radio being on with random advertisements being played. Why did I hear nothing when I turned up the volume earlier? But then later, when I returned, the radio was on. Could I have been dreaming about this whole thing? Yes, I think so, but it's also possible that something decided to mess with me that night. All I know for sure is something scared me worse than anything before and caused me to run out of the room. That happened. The next day at school, I was still in disbelief that that happened. Needless to say, I never went to sleep with the radio on, still, and or ever again. Hope you find the story entertaining. There is something scary about things like radio or TV suddenly seemingly aware of your presence. But if you were watching a show on TV and everybody on it paused and looked at you, the viewer, and even said your name, calling out to you, that would scare me shitless.
I think it, you know, you could say that he was falling asleep and that's why he dreamt he heard his name, but where the TV volume is actually being messed with, that's different.
Yeah, that is different. I do have a theory on it, of something that could logically explain this, because I've never had a TV show or a radio show that I'm listening to as I fall asleep do what just happened to him, where it says his name and gets his attention. But I have, in my dozing off, suddenly the content of it was not what the real content of it was, because I knew the episodes too well. Or, for example, the show, the sleep timer would go and turn off the device, and I would still think I'm hearing the show for a certain period of time, and then suddenly I wake up and I go, wait a second, the TV's off, or the radio's off. And I knew that was just my mind continuing on this dialogue or the show that I thought I was listening to or had previously been listening to. So my thought is this, to explain the whole thing. He's listening to it. For whatever reason, the station goes off the air. Technical problem at the station. Mm-hmm. Not the radio itself, just what this happens. They go off the air. I've been there many a times when that happens. And suddenly the audio stops. His mind is like, what's going on? I'm so used to this playing. And then it started in his dream state, thinking he was hearing the host calling out his name.
Mm-hmm.
Pops up out of bed. Wait a second. Dead air. What's going on? You think the radio is off because there's no audio. You don't necessarily jump to the conclusion that the station went off the air or they're having dead air. Freaks out, leaves the room, comes back, station's back on the air, and the advertisements are playing.
Sure.
So I could see that being the chain of what occurred there, simply because my mind starts to do that same sort of thing. And, you know, different things are being said, not directly to me, but I suppose it could just as easily happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a ghost.
Yeah.
One of the two. I don't know. There could be a possibility there, just from my own experience and having a mind that does that sort of thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. This is Megan. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Megan. I
called
a while back. I told you guys a story about the Grove Park Inn and this Jack's house. So I'm that person. I haven't called in a while, but I was just listening to the episode Dreams Come True or something like that, and a girl wrote in about her private college that she went to in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I happen to go to the same college. I know exactly what she's talking about, and I wanted to tell you guys a quick story that it just sparked my memory listening to that. I was in the dorm, like, next to the one that she was in. It was haunted, but it's not really, it wasn't spoken of as, like, the most haunted dorm on the campus, but it was definitely really weird sometimes. And when I was a freshman, my roommate and I, we were both kind of freaked out, you know, a few times together where we just felt like a weird feeling in our room. But nothing ever physically happened until I was left alone one night and she had gone to see a boy. And I was sitting there writing a paper in my bed, and my bedside table had a picture of my dad and I on it. It was a framed picture. And as you guys know, picture frames lean back on, like, you know, a stilt or whatever to make it stand, you know, stand up. And so it's leaning backwards, and I'm sitting here writing a paper, and all of a sudden, this picture frame just flies forward on its face and falls over. And it made me jump, and I just kind of looked around, and I was thinking, like, did something fall down and hit it and make it flip over frontward? There was nothing there that I could see that had made it fall or anything, and I called my roommate, and I was now, and I was really freaked out, and I had already had, you know, paranormal experiences in my past, but never in college, you know, so far that year, so that was really, really, really crazy, and I'm glad that girl wrote in that story, because that place is definitely haunted, and I hope more people are listening and call in and talk about it, because it's pretty crazy. Thank you, guys. I'm on my way to work, so I have to go really quick, but I hope you guys have a great day, and I will hopefully call in later with other stories. Bye.
So the picture frame fell forward, and it's not like the thing on the back, that the little stand collapsed. Something had to knock it over.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there probably isn't earthquakes.
Very rarely. Over there.
Right there. That would be causing that to occur. And it would still probably take quite a quake.
Yeah.
To make something like that occur. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those moments where you're like, okay, I'm not quite alone anymore here.
Mm-mm.
No. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate that. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes, 80 some of those all there for you. You can binge your way on our best stories that we get in, and also exclusive video content as well. Definitely worth it. Hearing nothing but happy things from our EPPs, many longtime EPPs out there. So thank you if you already are one. If not, check it out and help keep this thing going if you like ghost stories. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.